Welcome. We are so glad you're joining us. This sermon was recorded live at Cornerstone Church in Cheshire. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
Well, today we're going to be getting into the spiritual gifts once again. And what we're going to be looking at, we're looking about peace through strength. Ever hear that before? Peace through strength? It is an ancient military tactic that has been very, very, very successful. But before we get into that, I want to encourage you that a lot of people struggle with peace. You ever struggle with peace, like when your things are not working on a Sunday morning? Yeah, we all go through that, right? In fact, 60% of people struggle with anxiety, and 40 million people in the United States are undiagnosed and struggle with peace issues. You ever lose your peace when things don't go right? How about this past week at 1:30 in the morning, I woke up, what day was it? It was Wednesday morning at 1:30, and I woke up, I didn't have peace. Had a little bit of anxiety on me. Ever wake up in the middle of anxiety? You're like, oh gosh, Lord, is this the right thing for us to do? Should we really do this, God? I don't have peace about this, Lord. And finally, I'm like, I'm going back to sleep. I'll let God worry about it. And I woke up the next morning feeling better. But sometimes, maybe you get a phone call from the doctor saying, oh, by the way, we got the biopsy back, and you have an issue. Or maybe the lawyer, you get a notification saying your spouse wants to leave you. Or you get a phone call finding out that someone that you love has cancer and is dying. I mean, it's not a fun thing to go through. And so many times this can happen in our lives. And how do you and I manage these situations when everything falls apart? And so this is what we're talking about, peace. And often, have you also noticed that you have great peace until you're around people? Right? I'm peaceful until I go home. I'm peaceful until I see my spouse, right? And I've heard people say this, you know, I love the church, I just don't like the people. And I say this, and I've heard me say this before, but that's like going home and telling your spouse, honey, I love you, but I don't like your body. Yeah, you don't want to say that, right? Thank you. There's someone that's honest in this room. And we appreciate it. You never want that to happen. But what's so interesting is that's how offensive it is to God. You know why? Because you are the body of Christ, and Christ died for the church and loves the church. So for us not to like the church is not to like Jesus. Oh, yeah, but the church is so imperfect. Yeah, and so are you, and so am I. And so sometimes you just want to get away from it all. You ever get to the point you want to go on a desert island? It's like, Lord, I just want to go to a desert island someplace. I want to go to the Caribbean where it's like 85 to 90 degrees with no humidity, right? A nice cool breeze. The ocean's at 88 degrees. And you're just sitting there in a hammock. Wouldn't that be great? It reminds me of a story of a guy who got shipwrecked on an island, and he was there for six months. Finally, he sees a ship. A ship comes. They send a lifeboat to the shore, and the guys get off the boat. They're excited to see him, but they notice something odd about this island because there's three huts on the island. And he says, well, what are these three huts? What's this first hut here? Oh, so, oh, that's my house. Oh, okay. Did a nice job. What's the second one? Oh, that's the church I go to. Okay. What's the third one? That's the church I used to go to. You know, sometimes we think if we change churches or change jobs or change spouses, things will get better. You see, but God has something great for all of us, and he wants us to move within his purposes. And today we're going to be looking about how you and I can have peace, how you and I can rest in God's peace, and that he is the Prince of Peace, and he has good plans for us to change. Now, some of the things, if you ever heard through peace through strength, right? And so maybe you heard about the Pax Romana. That was about 200 years. It sounds like an Italian dish, doesn't it? I know I'm getting hungry too. But it was 200 years where we saw peace in the Roman Empire where there were no significant wars. Why? Because the Roman army was so powerful and so strong, no one wanted to mess with it at all. In fact, there was a man by the name of Hadrian. And isn't that cool? They take a statue and they can show you what it looks like. It looks like John Travolta. and the 70s, doesn't he? But anyhow, this guy made an incredible wall in Great Britain, part of the Roman Empire. It was 80 miles long. And this incredible fortress, what it did is it brought protection from the Vandals and other people. And people were safe because of overwhelming force. And this is today in England, by the way. You can go and see where this is today. It's incredible. It's incredible. I don't know why we can't make roads that last that long here in the United States, but I don't know what's going on with that. But you might have heard also, it became the foreign policy of our domestically, and one of my favorite presidents, probably my favorite president without any doubt, is Abraham Lincoln. An amazing, amazing leader, right? If I were to choose my second favorite president, it would have to be Theodore Roosevelt. This guy was a stud. He was amazing. He got shot one time, and he got up and continued to speak. That's the kind of, this guy was rough and tough, and then he got sick. I mean, he still stayed with it. He went two terms. They wanted to make him a third term. He says, nah, two terms is enough. I think he's right. No more than two terms, please, thank you. But he was a great, great guy, and he had this thing, speak softly and carry a big stick, and you'll go far. In other words, if you got strength and you have power, you're going to have good foreign policy because people are going to be afraid to touch you because you have overwhelming force. And this is a kind of philosophy that was going on in that day. In fact, Ronald Reagan kind of resurrected that with the former Soviet Union. What he did is he started stockpiling more and more weapons and got our military strong and even like started this thing called Space Force, Star Wars actually. They call it Star Wars, and the Russians could not keep up with it. We bankrupted them, and they finally collapsed. And now, of course, they're trying to rebuild through Putin. But it was peace through strength. I'm not going to mess with this guy because this country can beat me up. Well, God wants us to be a people that learn to have peace through strength as well, and that you and I can get to a place where we're so strong in God that we can do it. Because you know why? Because we are in spiritual warfare. You may not recognize it, but you and I are at war. What you're going through, and by the way, it's not like demons are flying around messing up your car, messing up your television, messing up your, well, maybe they're messing with my computer. I can blame somebody, right? But really, the big warfare for you and I is between our eyes. It's in our mind. That is the primary place the enemy gets a foothold. We assign way too much power to the enemy. If we would take care of our minds and let God transform our minds, it would change things a lot. In fact, the Bible talks about who God is. He is the God of peace. It says the God of peace will soon, what? Crush. And who's God? He is the God of peace. He's the God of peace. What does that mean? He gives peace. He gives peace. He gives power. The God of peace will soon crush Satan over your under your feet, which means this. The best is yet to come in Christ Jesus. You and I need to get this in our heads, so important, that Christ has defeated the darkness. The war has been won, but right now we're still in battles until that final day. The war's been won, but we've still got to work up the mopping up operations of what's taking place on this earth. We might win some battles, but lose some battles. But guess what, everybody? We fight from victory, not for victory. You're going to hear me say that all the time, and the best days are ahead for us in Christ Jesus. So that's part of it. And also, here's another truth, is the fact that, oh, goodness, real strength is from the Holy Spirit's peace. When you and I have peace, it's an environment where you can be creative. When you're at peace, you have an easier time hearing God's voice. And so I want to encourage you to cultivate God's peace. Well, how are you supposed to do that? Well, one of the ways is so important, and you might have heard this, and it's so true. Know Jesus, know peace. But if you know Jesus in a relationship with Christ, you will know peace. No ifs, ands, or buts. We must believe that and follow in that. You see, Jesus says the following. He says the following. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You see, if you're trying to get peace from the world, you're not going to have true peace. because the peace the world gives you is temporary. It's like building a sandcastle and trying to live in it and high tide's coming. God's peace is not just over mind over matter. It's actually God's kingdom over matter. You see, not as the world gives, I give you, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says let. What does that mean? It means you and I have a role to play in this. We're not talking about works over, no. You have to understand something. Faith has works. Because we have faith, it works. So we have to let not your hearts be troubled, right? Neither let them be afraid. It's a choice you and I can make. You see, whatever you focus upon, whatever you look towards, your strongest thought will control your life. Whatever you're looking at the most, you'll drive towards. It's just the way it is. And so we have to understand that we are going for God. For example, I want to bring something else to you. You may not know it. And are you aware of the fact that right now, there's only 144 days until Christmas? So, yeah, go to Costco. They're selling wrapping paper now. Yeah. So get started. Well, what am I bringing that up for? Because the next verse kind of reminds me of Christmas. And what's the next verse say? For unto us a child, what?
Born.
Is born. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, right? And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I need a counselor. How about you, right? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. That's exactly what he is. He is the Prince of Peace. So if you want to know peace, know Jesus. That is all part of the process you and I need to understand. Now, what does that mean? In order to understand the peace of God, we have to understand about God. Now, we've been going through this series of the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. That God has given us gifts. And these gifts are not something you can earn, only something you receive. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is something you receive. Something you receive, but you have to exercise and you have to receive it. And so often I've heard people say, we need more gifts of the Holy Spirit. No, we need more fruit of the Holy Spirit. No, we need both. And today we're going to be talking about that. And we started this whole process we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we went through the spiritual gifts, and we mentioned that the most powerful force in the universe is the love of God. Because if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about spiritual gifts. 13 says, without love, it means nothing. Chapter 14 gets into more gifts. Then we're also, which I'll show you in a few moments, getting into the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll talk about in a few moments. Before we do that, though, let me go ahead and bring you back to some factual things about Corinth. Corinth was in a major metropolitan city. It was a wild city. It was a growing city. It was like New York City. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. It was a place people went to go to get wealth, notoriety, and to play. It was kind of like the Netherlands, kind of like Amsterdam. Pastor Chris, you know about Amsterdam. Because he used to minister there. That's the reason why. I'd make that very clear. But he used to call someone a Corinthian. Someone was that person's a Corinthian. They're Corinthianized. That means they were a wild person. It was kind of a crazy set of circumstances that were going on in that day. And so in that area, they also have the Temple of Aphrodite, where there'd be 1,000 prostitutes, and they would come down and go through the city. It was a mess. In the middle of that city, the Apostle Paul planted a church in the middle of the devil's den. And in this place, they had tremendous spiritual gifts. They were having signs and wonders. The dead were being raised. Demons were being cast out. Miracles were taking place. Well, how can you say that? Because the Apostle Paul said, you're not lacking any charismata gift. At the same time, there was gross immorality, there was fighting, there was lawsuits against each other, sexual improprieties, you name it. It was really bad. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to this. We've been going through this almost a year now. And now we're getting to the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit that we can ask for. And one of the ways we do that is we have to understand the Bible says the following, right? to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit, right? Why? For the what? For the common good. I mean, not just for me to be, well, no one appreciates my gift. I can sing real well. I can teach real well. I can preach real well. I can podcast real well. They should have me on staff. I am not being recognized. I'm going someplace else. If that is our ideal and ideas, it is really about you, not God. Now, there are times where people are not being utilized, and I understand there's a time for that. But if that's your whole area, no, it's for the common good, not just for you. He goes on, the manifestation, that means a manifestation of the Spirit, not you, right? For the common good, for to one is given, to one is given the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and then we get into for the common good. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another, faith. We talked about that 1 week, remember, we talked about faith and the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, in this, you can hopefully see there are two types of gifts seeing. I can't get to seeing the works, so I'm going to have to point at that. We have the gifts of the Spirit and we have the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is the charismata. That's called the power gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit that he gives us. We can have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretations of tongues. We're going to be getting into these things as weeks go on. And we also, then we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians, and the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if you're an apple tree, you should have apples, right? And here's some fruits of what you should have. Sometimes people spend more time in the gifts and not the fruit. Or other people are all about the fruit and not the gifts. Both are important. You need character and you need competency, right? So you have, for example, you have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. So the first important thing is love. And by the way this is listed is in perpetual importance. One builds upon the other. The first one is love. Without love, we are nothing. So when you have love, the most powerful force in the universe is God's love. Okay, when you have his love, what happens is then you can have joy. We spoke about joy. Joy is not circumstance, it's on position. You know who you are in Christ. For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. That's how we do that, okay? So we look at that. And this is what the Bible says about peace. You keep him or her in perfect peace, who's what? Mindset. Now think about that for a moment. The word mindset. What does mindset mean? Your mind is what? Look at your neighbor and say, you're pretty smart. Okay. Mindset. You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Remember, whatever you think about the most, you will drive towards. It's the way God made you. If all you see, for example, is I can't see John because that keyboard's in the way. That keyboard's annoying. And I keep looking at the Nord there. I need the Lord, not the Nord. And I keep looking at it and I keep looking at it. Bam, I'm gonna bump it. But if I forget about the Nord and I just see John, now I don't see the Nord anymore. It's there, but I see John. And John, you look good, man. I like your haircut. Okay, there's John. Come on, give it up for John, will you please? All right, so that's what happens. Whatever you focus upon, you'll drive towards. It's so important we understand the importance of that. Now, therefore, since we've been justified by what? Faith. We have. Why? You've given your life to Jesus. You have peace, but I'm not experiencing it. Peace is not just an emotion, it's also a position. Because peace, according to Webster, we often think peace means absence of conflict. That's not what peace really is. Peace, in the understanding of the Jewish mindset, was something we call in the Hebrew, shalom. And in the Greek word for that, shalom, it also means a state of being, a state of position, a state of solidarity that I know who I am in Christ. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Yes, things are terrible. Yes, things are going rough, but I know the best is yet to come, and I have my anchor thrown to heaven, and that is sustaining me in the middle of this. And when we understand that, it gives us great power. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, listen to this. We have to let Christ's peace, what? Rule in your heart. You have to welcome the kingdom of heaven. In fact, look at the response. I like what A.W. Tozer said. The only way to find peace is to stop fighting against God's will and yield completely to him. But God, I'm lonely, and he or she, I want a boyfriend. I want a girlfriend. God, Lord, I want to get that new car, even though I can't afford it. So I'm going to buy something I can't afford and have payments I can't pay for because I want. No, that doesn't bring you peace. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, give me wisdom, a multitude of wisdom. There's counselors, right? Understanding how God is. I could get an example. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to compromise my values because I'm lonely. Can I just tell you something? You're better off being alone at home with the wrong one. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, listen to them. If you're with that person, be quiet, and we'll talk to you after the service. But look at the responsibility we have here, guys. What does it say? And what?
Let.
What does let mean? You have a role to play. Let the peace of Christ, what? Rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called to one body. Now, I understand when I say that, you're thinking, oh, great. I suffer with anxiety disorder. I suffer with depression. So here I am again. I guess I'm just a second-class Christian. I don't have the joy of the Lord, so I'm no good. So great. I'm coming to church, and I'm being told that I'm not good like the other Christians. Let me say something to you. If you're sick and have the flu, and you can't eat supper, as a parent, are you angry at your kid? No. You love your children, right? They're sick. They're not feeling well. So what do you want to do? Get them healthy, right? If they have a stomach virus, take them antibiotics, whatever you have to do. You got to help them out. So God feels the same way. If you have a condition and you're struggling and maybe you're just worn out and you're depressed, you're anxious and you're seeing doctors and all, listen, God loves you. You're not a second-class Christian. Just like a parent wouldn't call their child that's not doing well physically and throw them aside. Neither will God throw you aside. But despite that fact, these things can work in our lives. So what does that mean? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called one body, and be what? Thankful. Thankful is an antidepressant. Why? Because if you folk, remember we talked about whatever your mind on, your drive towards. So if you're thinking of good things that you have, guess where your mind goes? I tried, that doesn't work. You keep on trying, keep on doing. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for what you've given me. Thank you, God, for my kids. All these various things you thank God for. And let's look at that, right? And be thankful. Let the word of God. What's the word of God? The Bible. That's why it's so important to get into the word. Just this morning, I was reading the word. I was reading the word this morning, and I added a scripture to my sermon. And the God of peace will soon put Satan under your feet, as I was reading the end of Romans. Fit perfect within my sermon, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now listen to this. The best way to learn something is to teach somebody else. So whatever peace you have, teaching and admonishing who? It's kind of hard to have a one another if there's not a another. So say you're the other and I'm another. Okay. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms. That's what we're doing this morning, right? And hymns, spiritual song with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. That's how we do it. Look what Jesus is. For he himself is what? Our peace. He's broken down, right? He is our peace, who's made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So the first thing is this. You and I need to choose to let God's peace rule in your heart. You have to make a determination to do it. It might take time. When Jesus was born, right? God impregnated Mary, And Jesus grew inside of her. Whatever peace you have, cultivate it. Thank God for it. Grow it like a plant. Continue to work on the soil, pull the weeds, and watch what God will do with the fruit. The Bible says, bring everything to God in prayer. And see, you probably know this. If you don't know this, you need to memorize this. Fantastic, or read about it, know about this. It says the following, be anxious for nothing. When I hear that, I get anxious, right? It says, be anxious for nothing. What does that mean in the Greek? It means nothing, okay? Be anxious for nothing about anything, but what? In everything by prayer. It means you pray about it, right? Get into the word, pray about it. With supplication, give it great details. And here's another one, everybody. With what? Thanksgiving. Okay. Get your eye off the problem and on the solution and thank God for what he's already done. You're going to drive whatever you will think about. So think about what's good, what's of noble character. Let your request be made known to God and the what? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. God will put a big, big, muscly guard at the forefront of the door of your life. No one's going to get into the club of heaven in your head. There's a bouncer out there, right? When you work that hard, you're getting that bouncer strong. How would you know about that? I read it in movies. Okay. Surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I like what Billy Graham said. He said the following, you'll never know the peace of God until you know the peace with God. That can only happen to a life that is surrendered through him. And the third thing today, first one, let the peace happen, right? Bring everything to God in prayer. That's so important, everybody. It's talking to God. It's saying God, and we saw about it. And here's another one, be a peacemaker. What does that mean? That you can bring peace. You know, Jesus told his disciples, when you enter a house, you can say peace. If they don't accept you, leave your peace and take it with you. That's right. You have the ability to bless somebody. You can go to work and walk into the office and go, peace be with you. These are not your droids. No, we're not talking about that. Not a Jedi mind trick. You don't walk around saying, I just gave you peace, boss. No, don't do that. You can just walk in and say, Lord God, before I get in here, this craziness in here, Lord, I pray for your peace. Thank you, you're my peace. Before you pull into the driveway, oh, Jesus, Lord God. Lord, let there be peace. If you have in-laws that are outlaws, oh, Lord, let them leave in peace. Okay, be a peacemaker. Blessed are the what? Peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Surrender to him. What does that mean? I want you to encourage you guys. You and I have a responsibility to what? How do we do it? We have to what? We have to let Christ's peace rule in our heart. You have it. Now let it happen. I gave you the steps. Go back. Look at it again. Look at the scriptures, okay? Bring everything to God in prayer and be a peacemaker. You, whatever you focus on, you will draw yourself to. So continually do that. This is how we change the world. This is how we change what God is doing in our lives. Let's pray. Father, in the matchless name of Jesus, we thank you that indeed you are the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we need you desperately. In this world, where you said in this world, we would have much trouble. But rejoice, for I have overcome the world. Jesus, because you overcome, we overcome. And Father, I just pray right now that you bring peace. That you bring peace upon everyone here in this place, Father. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this place. Lord, I pray peace to those who are struggling with mental health issues, those who are struggling with anxiety, depression. Lord, we lift our vision higher. Lord, we want to let the peace we have, even if the peace is small, we want to thank you that we're even able to be here today. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. I pray deliverance from peace, deliverance from anxiety, that your peace that passes all understanding would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Thanks for watching and listening. Please consider sharing with a friend. Visit us at cornerstonecheshire.com. To find out more about our community. Let's learn to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference together.